Today's show, Coach Gundy, not so good. Big 12, is it going to expand and would FSU and Clemson actually go? Arch Manning is in the game. Update on the Bryant Denny funeral and a robot in Korea story.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I'm not in the game. This pod isn't in the game, so I don't even know what EA Sports is talking about.
Russ Dellinger.
We're on fumes here, Dan.
And SI's Pat Forty.
I prefer Pong.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and the Stillwater mullet has come through. Content.
He's reliable.
I'm a man, 56. Coach Gundy. Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State coach. Making comments at Big 12 Media Day, which Ross is at. On the DUI arrest of star running back Ollie Gordon. And we're going to try to have an intelligent discussion here as best we can. I think it's important, Pat, you pointed this out in the group text, to listen to Coach Gundy's full comments, which I do think was interesting. And I'm not taking away from what he said, but the aggregation business in American media, it's just like you can't really believe.
Don't get me started, Dan. Don't get me started.
Cannot believe anything. I'll preface these comments by saying this is literally one of the stupidest things I've ever heard a coach say. Indefensible on every level. Besides his opinion being absolutely reckless, his tone was flippant. It added more attention to Ollie Gordon's arrest. I don't really think America was consumed with Ollie Gordon talk. Great football player, but it's not even, you know, I didn't even want to use the guy's names, but like a star. If you name the top three or four star players entering the season, Ollie Gordon's on no one's list as the name. And now everyone's talking about him and his arrest. So I will say that, but there are some interesting things in here, and I don't believe that Mike Gundy is sitting around going, I don't care if our players drunk drive, because I've done it 1,000 times. If you don't get caught, who cares? I don't believe that's his opinion. I don't really believe there's almost anyone in America whose opinion is that. It's probably a few people. As we say, there's only one indisputable truth that we all agree on in this country. Don't do meth. Other than that, I think there's usually some segment that goes with it, but whatever. But that said, this was absolutely idiotic. And for a coach who's been coaching this long to be so unprepared for the easy, you know, you're getting asked, you went to media day. Not like some guy walked up to you on the street in Stillwater and threw a camera in your face. Kind of should have been prepared. Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Here's his quote. Ollie Gordon gets arrested. They ask him about it. College football has changed, and we all know we can say these guys aren't employees, but they're really employees. These guys get paid a lot of money, which is fine. But there needs to be a side to what they do that they have to be able to, for lack of a better term, face the music and own up to things. When I looked at it, I thought, okay, I'm going to be real honest with myself first and then make the best decision for what I think is good for Ollie, our university, and our team. Then I started thinking about being a parent. I have a 28, I have a 23, and I have a 19-year-old. And first I thought, okay, so I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? In Oklahoma, it's 0.08, and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of things. Oh, you're into the legal side of things.
Yeah, you kind of got into that. Yeah.
This is when he started doing beer math in his head here. Yeah. But I thought, yeah. Really, two or three beers or four? I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life, which is fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, you're lucky. You got out light because you make a lot of money to play football. Back in the day, being able to cover the cost of what he's going to go through would be difficult for a college player. It's not for him. I'm not speaking for him, but I'm just saying it's not an issue for him. Nobody got hurt. I said, we see people doing this and people losing their lives across the country, not just football players, but everybody. So you got out lucky. There'll be no suspension. They open with some easy games. He notes if he really wanted to punish Ollie Gordon, make him run 50 times in the opener, not suspend him so he could rest his legs. Obviously, this entire comments went over like a lead balloon. And later he went on the Twitter and said, my intended point today at Big 12 Media Days is that we are all guilty of making bad decisions. It was not a reference to something specific.
Except it came across as exactly a reference to something specific.
He basically said, like, I've driven drunk 1,000 times.
Yeah. It's basically what he said. Define bad decision. Like, I forgot to bring the garbage cans out. Could be a bad, like, drunk driving 1,000 times. Pat, I know you got thoughts.
I do. Gosh, many of them. Let me see if I can be somewhat succinct here. For starters, yes, part of being Mike Gundy is thinking you always have all the answers, so you don't need to prepare for things like interviews. You know everything anyway. That's the way he's always been. He's always been candid and clueless, both. He's been tone deaf to what he's saying, and I think this is a classic example of it. And as an aside, I'm here to tell Mike that it's okay actually to let your hair go gray as well, because the gray beard with the jet black hair has got to go. Just go ahead and go with the gray hair. It hasn't killed me
yet. Coach K's barber.
Yeah. But no, so he thinks, you know, again, I just think Mike Gundy walks around thinking I know everything, and so I can talk my way into and out of everything and explain it to all the people that don't know near as much as I do. And he comes off looking like a dumbass on fairly regular occasions. About once a year, we get a Gundy segment on the pod. And I appreciate the effort for him giving us content, but my goodness. The candor of, okay, yes, he probably has made the same mistake that Ollie Gordon has made, as have many of the rest of us in our youthful times. But the rationale that because he makes a lot of money and because this is kind of semi-pro football, we don't really have to punish him. It's, you know, that's out the window. We don't really care anymore. It's just now that you're a semi-pro football player, you do what you want. Just show up on Saturdays and you're not going to miss any Saturdays. So there's that part of it. There is, yeah, just this kind of cavalier notion that, yeah, Ollie got popped, and now he's going to have to be accountable by going to Media Day and talking about it and going through the legal system. But, like, there's nothing else. There's no other higher standard with Oklahoma State football involved here at all. This is within a week, of Kyrie Jackson, Oregon defensive back, Minnesota Vikings draftee, dying along with two of his former high school teammates in what they believe is an alcohol-related crash, hit by a suspected drunk driver. The tone deafness, the cavalier attitude toward this, the I'm Mike Gundy, I'll take care of everything, I know what's right sort of tone here. It continues to be him, and he continues to get away with it. But man. This was pretty weird.
I think I know what Mike Gundy was trying to say. What the part he left out was that he made the wrong decision 1,000 times, right? In that Ollie made the wrong decision, in that it's inexcusable behavior. He kind of left out that part of it. But as Pat was talking, I thought of a different talking point to this, which, because Gundy mentioned about basically their, you know, employees, their professional athletes now making money. you know, in the NFL, if this would happen, players would get fined, right? Probably, well, suspended maybe also, but definitely fined. And I wonder when or if college football players will start to get fined. I don't know. That just occurred to me as Pat was talking. Is that something that one day we could see happening? I know that in a few contracts, some collectives have put in their academic requirements. So if they're not fulfilled, the player doesn't get paid. So that's kind of like a fine, but it just kind of occurred to me. But to get back to Gundy's comments, I think he left out a very big part of that, which is, yes, we all do make mistakes. And apparently he's made mistakes 1,000 times. I can say I don't think I've driven drunk 1,000 times, but because that seems like a lot. And that's extremely reckless. And yeah, you know, could have ended bad for Ollie, right? His career could be over. And I think that's what he was trying to say, but he didn't. In typical Gundy fashion, he did make it quite clear that this is wrong behavior, and he shouldn't have done it, and his running back shouldn't have done it either.
There are NFL. You can be suspended 1 to 3 games. Coaches suspended 3 games. Now they let the process play out. Gordon's got all the, you know, he has the right to, and they don't seem to be contesting this, or if so, Gundy will be a witness for the prosecution, it seems yeah. like. But let's say he, you know, he's innocent. I don't know. He presumed innocent, but doesn't seem like it. But yeah, you get suspended in the NFL. So that part isn't it. My thing is just unbelievably ill-prepared for Gundy. So even if you're not that somehow not fired up, like this is just a self-inflicted, this is just stupid. You know, you're getting asked, you walk in, you have a prepared answer. You don't just wing it and try to like win over the, like he was on some set of like, it was like internal Big 12 TV or something. I don't even know what this was.
It was ESPN. ESPN
was it
Plus,
ESPN? Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was ESPN affiliate.
Chris Budden.
Yeah.
Chris Budden was there. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous that you would just not be prepared for this question. And, you'll get suspended in the NFL. You know, he had this whole part about there's more. And it's a little bit where it gets a little contradictory, but he does go into that whole bit like, you know, people have to say, have you ever made a mistake? I mean, I don't know what he was talking. The 1,000 he just threw out casually. I looked this up. So he's 56, right? And let's say he started driving at 16. I don't know what you would drive in Oklahoma back in the day, but so. If you just take the weekend nights, he's had 4,160 weekend nights. Quarter of the time, he's getting liquored up and driving around Oklahoma. Oh, I don't know. Maybe weeknights. I'm not saying, you know, I don't know what he's doing, what his lifestyle is. I ain't here to judge. I know he's got that huge mansion, that ranch. Where yeah. Maybe he's just driving around his ranch. It's a high hit rate, man. That's a high hit rate. 1,000?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the question, though, that I think is somewhat interesting as we get into the NIL era. Okay. And so he talks about, and this is where I think he lost his argument, but he's basically saying, listen, Ollie Gordon is not a student athlete. He's a employee. He's a well-paid. He's a professional athlete. He's, what is he, 22?
All right, 20? He's he's underage.
He's 20. I'm sorry. It's underage. All right. Didn't even get that. Anyway, he's a pro. He's an adult. He's got this money. Basically, what the hell are you guys asking me to do something about?
Yeah.
That's his attitude.
Yeah.
Is why do I got to answer for this? And he's basically saying this should be on Ollie Gordon. But then at the same time, he goes, I said to Ollie, do you want to go to Big 12 Media Days? Because I'm not going to make it that decision for you. You got to make that decision. He said, Coach, I think I should go. I said, no, do you want to go? And he said, yes, I want to go. Then I said, yes, we're going to take you. We're not going to shield you from any questions. You're going to face everyone there. You need to give the answer that you think's best for you. Well, Gundy should have given the answer that's best for Oklahoma State. Then I hope you can learn from this and it make you better. Okay, he's a great person and made a mistake. Okay, fine. So Gundy, first off, it shouldn't have been a choice. Should have said, you're going. Mm-hmm. And you got to answer it. If this is the pros, I guess this is what I'm saying. Gundy wants this to be the pros. And if a member of the Kansas City Chiefs gets a DUI this weekend, nobody calls up Andy Reid and says, what is going on? What are you doing about this? Right? If someone on the LA Rams gets a DUI, it's not Sean McVay's fault. He doesn't necessarily have to answer for it, although they often do. And like I said, there is discipline built into the collective bargaining agreement. Gundy wants to say the kid's a pro. I should get the pass like an NFL, a pro coach gets, where it's not my job to be the leader of this guy, impose discipline, standards, or anything else. And to a degree, that's what he's arguing. Because yes, if you're an athlete in the NFL and you get a DUI, your agent has to handle this. And yes, you do have to face the media at some point, and you do have to handle the legal system, and you do have to pay. The idea that Ollie Gordon can handle the fine, like, great. I guess.
In that case, he also could have handled an Uber.
Could have handled an Uber. Do they have Uber? And I don't know where he was, but.
He was actually south of Oklahoma City, which is not very close to Stillwater. So,
well,
I don't know.
I mean, sure, there was an Uber. Could have done a lot of things. But here's the question I want to ask, because I think this is what Gundy was trying to get at, that actually it's at least something to discuss. Should, in this time frame where these guys are making lots and lots of money, and the student, it's not the same, they still say it, but they still god themselves up, which is why they get so much damn money. But the leader of men, I'm taking your boy, mama, I'm taking your boy, your teenage boy, and I'm going to return a man, right? We're going to teach him the values of our program. He's going to come out a great person. Basically, Gundy's like, dude, they're all guns for hire. What are you blaming me for? Does he have a point on that?
Well, it's an interesting premise, because I do think there are fans and coaches who are tilting in that direction of like, well, you wanted to make them pros, we're going to treat them like pros. And I think there's going to be more criticism of college players than we've seen before, and probably more situations like this of like, you're on your own island now, dude. You're making, I don't know, $500,000, $1 million. I don't know what Ollie Gordon's getting, but he's probably getting a substantial amount to play this year. He's the number 6, I believe, or 7 player in the Heisman voting last year. Led the nation in rushing yards. I mean, he's a very prominent player. But they do want it both ways, Dan. You're right that in recruiting, they want to talk about developing young people, and they want to talk about building a culture and values and all that sort of thing. But then on the other end of it, if you're going to get paid, well, with that comes more responsibility for you. And there's a degree of truth to that there is, will be, and perhaps probably, and yeah, should be a little more responsibility, I think, on the backs of the players of, I got to answer for my performance and how I conduct myself.
I do like that. To that end, I do like that they brought him. I mean, I think 5 years ago, maybe longer, you would see a school not bring a player to media days, right? Because you would see them say that that's part of the punishment of, he's suspended and he's not talking, can't talk, whatever. And so this is kind of a different take on it, right? Is to bring him and let him answer for his actions. And that feels like the right decision, and the one that we might see a little more often. But so I'm glad that they did bring him. But, you know, the coach then made it a bigger story than what it is, as Dan mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you go the NBA route or the NHL route or baseball route, there are 19-year-olds in the pros, 18-year-olds in the pros, and they got to answer. And again, it's not put on the coach if something happens. So I guess that's what Gundy's going. And I wonder if that will be the trend. I think somewhere deep in there, he has an argument. I'm not sure I agree with it. I also think there's a unique situation here. You're not employing somebody to live in a major city. You're bringing a player to a campus where they live in very close proximity with a whole bunch of other students. And so there should be some responsibility on who you are bringing to campus. Not necessarily, I just think it's there's still a unique status to this.
I think that, you know, this is part of the overall conflict of modern college athletics is we have an increasingly professionalized athletic enterprise that is still intertwined with a campus and a college and a university higher education setting. And there's just a lot of things there that don't mesh very easily with each other. And this is going to be the nature of a lot of this conflict until there's a resolution of either their full grown employees or athletics is kicked off campus or schools go back to an FCS model. I don't know how this is all going to play out, but just there's inherent conflict that gets more pronounced the further we get down the road into compensating players.
Yeah. It's that, that transformation that college athletics is in the midst of, where it really is going from, you know, amateurism to a professional model. And you're going to have so many things around the sport and off the field that may change or may need to change because of that. And this is one of the things, like I mentioned earlier, you wonder about player fines coming into the picture, which I never really occurred to me or thought about it until our conversation that, you know, when is that going to happen? Maybe that doesn't happen until some kind of employment or collective bargaining. This transformation into a more professional model is going to come with a lot of changes and unusual kind of things that we're probably all not used to in college athletics.
Who would get the money from an Ollie Gordon fine? The All-State 12 Conference or something like Mothers Against Drunk Driving in the state of Oklahoma?
Yeah, maybe a charity. Yeah, you know? Maybe.
I mean, it's a 3-game suspension in the NFL, according to the CBA.
Yeah.
If he is found guilty.
And a fine? Or it's just suspension? I guess if you miss 3 games, you're not paid for those 3 games, maybe?
Trying to find that out. But
I would think that's how that works.
It's not nothing.
No.
The thing about these guys, if this is what Gundy was trying to articulate, and don't blame me, Mike, you're lost the plot pretty quickly. So yeah. I'm trying. At least I tried.
We're trying to figure you out.
I have you've been entertaining me for many years, Coach. I have no idea what you're ever talking about. I watched your reality show though. It was hysterical. Anyway, like there was an episode where him and his dad just farmed. It was unbelievable. I felt for the producers. They just had nothing. Show them the nights when you're driving around. Give me your 1,000 drunken
cans
nights
in the back seat.
Four beers in the F-150 down the highway road.
If you want to drive around your ranch, go ahead. Okay, I don't recommend it. But anyway, let me tell you what also doesn't happen in the NFL. The coach isn't paid seven times what the star player is.
That's for sure.
Ollie Gordon, let's say he's making $1 million. Seems reasonable, I think, from what we kind of hear. He obviously turned down an opportunity to become an NFL player. Mike Gundy's making 7.5. I can assure you there ain't an NFL coach making that much more than his best player.
No.
So, at some point, something's got to give here. All right. We'll wait till next week. Gundy's 56. He started when he was 40 giving us these lines. He actually started when he was a player. I mean, he really is something. Yeah. Heck of a football coach, though. Let's take a break. We'll be back with Ross's other Big 12 report. Ross, you're in Vegas, Big 12 media days. Other than coach boozing stories, the big event seemed to be your story with Brett Yormark that, expansion? No, we're not done. This conglomeration of schools that make no sense geographically, culturally, anything, but do kind of look like they're going to be a lot of fun for football and basketball. Could get even bigger. We're going to get more expansion. What is happening? Expansion never sleeps, right?
No, realignment. It's always there in the background, lurking. And it was a weird day. The first day of Big 12 Media Day, when you walk around on, you know, first of all, you're at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, where the Pac-12 had the last several football championship games. And you know, you've got four of their former teams there in a league that helped bring that conference down, having it now in their backyard. And seeing Utah and Arizona, Arizona State and Colorado there with UCF and Cincinnati, Houston, it's all pretty odd. And I talked to Mark Harlan, who's the Utah athletic director, and he found it odd as well. He called it pretty surreal. Now, he said he's excited, right, about new teams and new places, but he was kind of looking around at the stadium like, I can't believe we're here now playing in the Big 12 in the former Pac-12's championship site, when just a year ago, you know, we were at Pac-12 Media Day here in Las Vegas, the last Pac-12 Media Day. So it was kind of bizarre, kind of surreal. And then you have the commissioner, Brett Yormark, who always aggressive and pretty boastful, kind of took the stage for an hour-long presentation, didn't stand behind a podium, but walked, kind of strutted on stage from side to side, kind of amping up the crowd. It kind of felt like a WWE intro, sort of. Like it was interesting. It was very different. And he went through quite a bit in front of about 500 media members. But one of them was, hey, we're still open for business. And I think the Big 12 and Brett Yormark are seem to always be looking to generate more value in revenue in different ways. We all know, we've all talked about the naming rights, which he didn't really give an update on. But I can say that they are in pretty deep negotiations with Allstate, which you know, we previously talked about. And then he talked about private equity. And although I don't know that that has the full league support in the Big 12, they're still exploring that. And then, of course, he talked about further expansion without getting into it, many details. But obviously, you know, two schools in another conference are trying to leave that conference. And him talking like he did, which was, we've solidified ourselves as one of the top three conferences in America, he said. And he said the Big 12 is more relevant than ever. Said he won't stop until the Big 12 is number one conference in America. And again, said that they remain open for business, which is, by the way, Dan, a line that he's used multiple times, including last July at Big 12 Media Day, he used the line. And then, of course, a month later, we know what happened, where he took the four Pac-12 schools and the Pac-12 collapsed. And it was just eerily similar to some things that happened last July.
Let's get right at this. Does Florida State and Clemson want any part of that league?
Well, if they have nowhere else to go.
Is it really better for them to go there than just stay?
Well, the only thing that it would be better for would be if the Big 12 would offer them more money, right? Now, right now, the Big 12 really can't offer them more money. They can't offer them SEC type, Big Ten type money, which is $60, $70, $80 million a year right now. Big 12 teams get, you know, less than 40, and they're not going to take a dilution in their shares. They already took a dilution from the new four teams that were added. So they'd have to find a way to find money to give Florida State and Clemson Big Ten SEC type money, which of course would be, right, they're down the road a little bit with this private equity. Is that a lane? I don't know.
Man, to walk away from what you have for, I mean, it would have to be substantially more money and a more exciting place. I think it would have to be. I understand these guys will go and burn every bridge for an extra nickel. But like the idea that you would leave the Southeast and all of your traditions for any, not just a lot more money, but a situation where you're saying, hey, we're in the SEC now, man, or we're going to play all these Big Ten schools. I don't know. I hate to say no shot because we've seen pretty much every ludicrous thing, but Pat, can you imagine? Like, how much money would it be worth to say we're no longer going to play in the ACC where we have all these traditional rivals, we're close by, our alums are here? Yeah, it's one thing if you go to the SEC, sure. Big Ten, probably not as great of a situation, but at least you're like, hey, man, Ohio State's going to show up, Michigan's going to show up. Like, we're playing some big-time football. To sit there and be like, yeah, hey, don't worry, we're not going to play in North Carolina anymore, but, you know, you can't. It's going to be awesome. We'll go to Waco and Utah. Like, does this seem even reasonable that the Big 12 could get those two schools? I'm sure they could get some other schools if the ACC implodes, but is this reasonable?
Right. It would be a massive failure and a real comeuppance if Clemson and Florida State took a sideways move to the Big 12. There's really only three options for them. And one's the SEC, which at this point does not seem likely. Things can change. The second is the Big Ten. I'm not sure how likely that is, but things can change. The third one is you go it alone and wait for everything to blow up and then jump in with one of those two. Or you just stay where you are and wait for it to blow up and jump in with one of those two. But going to the Big 12 solves nothing. As you said, it creates more problems and more drawbacks for your fans, then it certainly would add to the bottom line unless Brett Yartmark can somehow reinvent the revenue stream. And that's going to be hard to do without Oklahoma and Texas. And I will say, I like having Yartmark go first on this media day cycle throughout the month because he's a talker, man. He'll say stuff. He will stir the pot. He'll put stuff out there and he puts everybody else a little bit on the defensive, I think. You know, I guarantee Jim Phillips is back there like, what? Wait a minute. Their top three says who? And we're not going to stop till we're number one. And Sankey's like, oh yeah, we'll see about that. So I Yormark's approach has been effective for the Big 12, I think, because he has stepped in and taken, you know, a 10 high hand and played it like a full house. And it's helped. It's worked to a degree. The perception is the Big 12 is very aggressive. It's forward thinking. And he made some moves that I think have definitely helped the league. And, you know, getting those schools from the Pac-12 helped. No doubt about it. But they still don't really change the hierarchy of where things are. And you do still have to find a way without Texas and Oklahoma going forward. So he is a very skilled PR guy. I think he thinks very strategically, but I just don't know exactly what they can do to change the paradigm of where things are unless the ACC fully implodes.
It is interesting to have the Big 12, you know, go first and him to kind of set the table for other commissioners. The SEC Media Days is next week in Dallas. Where you'll have new teams, Texas and Oklahoma. Week after that, ACC and Big Ten have their media days in Charlotte and Indianapolis. So it is interesting for him to kick off things. You know, one other way, the bottom line in this is that the Big 12 administrators as a league, presidents and athletic directors would have to probably agree to take an uneven revenue distribution model if they were to take on Clemson and Florida State, right? Because whether it's through private equity or their own networks, Fox, ESPN, whatever, giving them more money for Clemson and Florida State, they wouldn't get enough money to probably for everybody to have a distribution of $60, $70 million a year. It would just be an enticement for Clemson and Florida State, and Big 12 administrators would have to agree to be taking $10, $15, $20 million less than the new guys who join the league. And is that worth it to have power school, you know, power football programs added to a league that for the most part is you know, probably the best basketball league in the country, but is going to have trouble football wise. I mean, there was talk yesterday from many people here, you know, hey, can we got to hope we can at least get two teams in the CFP. A second, can we just get an at-large team in the CFP? So that tells you where they're at football-wise. There's been some struggles there. So is it worth taking an uneven distribution? If you do get the money, whether if it's private equity or from the networks or some other place, will you agree to take these football blue blood types to have football more football value, but be taking $20 million less than them? And I don't know that they would do that. I don't know that they would do that.
So basically, you'd be swapping Texas and Oklahoma for Clemson and Florida State. I don't believe North Carolina would even answer the phone. I think it makes zero sense for Florida State and Clemson unless somehow the money is astronomical or they have no home, the ACC implodes. It makes even less sense for North Carolina because you're now giving up. Yes, it's a great basketball league, but you're giving up Duke and like just no. Not unless the money is massive. So you're basically doing that. I think my thing is we're looking at this league. We'll get to this preseason poll, which is pretty interesting. Like, what in the world would make like they're gonna struggle to get TV games that get more than 4 million people to watch. Us three are going to watch. I'm guessing most of the people listening to College Football Inquirer in the middle of July will be like,
they're watching.
Pretty exciting Utah K-State game this weekend, right? I'm going to check in on that. But you're not going to get those big number. You lost Red River. You lost all that stuff. So this would provide that, but it also knocks you back down. Like the beauty of this league is every team in the league, I think Arizona State is picked last right now, but I don't think Kenny Dillingham and Arizona State is sitting there going, in 2 years, we can't win this, let alone a year, maybe even this year. I don't want to speak for Kenny or the Sun Devils, but everybody's sitting there going, we can win this league. Now all of a sudden you say, oh, great, I might be beating Florida freaking State or Clemson, right? I get what he's doing, and Brett Yormark's very interesting, as you said, and all that. But I just don't see this as a this would make no sense for anybody. Like, if I'm not one of those presidents, why am I voting to bring these guys in? When you know the moment they get a little wink from the Big Ten or the SEC, they're gone. You're right back to where you were.
Well, I just the Florida State Clemson situation is just it's fascinating to me because there just seems to be so many complications and pitfalls to them leaving the ACC, but they still seem awfully interested in doing it. You know, it's like they've got a grand plan that the rest of us can't figure out. Maybe they do. I don't know.
Well, they got to go somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So
not yet.
And specifically Florida State, because I just don't see neither one of them, but I definitely don't see Florida State like just remaining in the ACC. Like I don't see that happening. This thing could take multiple years to go through the court system, but most of these things like this don't do that. They get settled out of court. I believe the judge even at some point earlier this summer, I can't remember the exact quote from the court, the documents, but it's suggested like you guys should start talking settlement, or you know, at some point you feel like that may happen, and then they have to go somewhere. So if the SEC is not going to take them because they don't really need them, right? They already have those states in Florida and South Carolina, as we've discussed before. And taking them might dilute the shares. And both conferences are with ESPN, so why would ESPN give the SEC more money, right? And if the Big Ten's not going to take them because, look, you know, they're not AAU, right? They don't want to go to 20 teams. They don't want to spread themselves thinner in the South. Then got to go somewhere.
I think it's more likely that they implode the ACC and reform it.
And reform, but, yeah. That's certainly an option we discussed a lot here. That's what they tried to do last spring, yeah. Seven schools. That was the idea. So that is certainly still exists as a possibility, sure.
Can we get the old Big East back? Can we get the old Big East back?
Well, let's tease that out for a second. What does that accomplish? I mean, if you can keep the same TV contract, then there's more money per school, but can you keep the same TV contract?
You have less inventory, but you get a bigger slice of the pie, but the pie might be big enough that your slice is bigger. I don't know.
The pie
I'm
is
at
probably
a
at least
buffet now. I don't know what's going on. I lost my train of thought in the middle. It brought up.
Well, the thought is, you know, you go from 18, right, which is their current membership, to 10 or 12, maybe even, and the TV deal
ACC
stays
is
fairly similar.
Or 16.
What 18.
Are they got? 18. It's 18. 17 plus so, Notre Dame. 17.
Oh, right. Irish. I forgot about that one.
You know, so you go back, you drop that to 10 or 12, and then you have a TV deal that's fairly similar to what it is now. The problem is you'd be disrupting a TV, you'd be disrupting an ESPN deal, and then needing ESPN to probably help you with another deal. You know, I mean, like, exactly. There are a lot of complications to this, which is why it failed last spring, which is why the presidents of the seven schools, most of them, you know, when it got to that level, said no, we don't want to do this.
Yeah. I mean, that's you are breaking a lot of eggs to make a different casserole that you still need ESPN for. And if they want to play ball, like, yeah, let's tear this apart and then redo it over here. I don't know.
I don't see great moves for Clemson and Florida State. I just don't right now. I don't know what. And you know, so let's say they blow this up. Let's say what'd you say you want to go to 10?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's maybe the. So like last spring, that was
Virginia,
the idea, I think.
Virginia and Virginia Tech, Florida State, Clemson, that's 4. Miami would be in 5.
North
You'd want
Carolina,
Notre Dame
6.
As a 6. And then Georgia Tech, because you want Atlanta, would be 7. And then you take like UNC, NC State, and
North
Duke?
Carolina. Yeah. I mean,
Cut out NC State and add Pitt or something?
Well, the 7, Dan, the 7 that got together and met independently last spring were UNC, NC State, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Miami, Florida State, and Clemson. Right. That was the 7. That was the original 7.
Okay.
So you have
gonna
to add.
They're going
to
throw Notre Dame in as 8.
They what if Notre Dame doesn't want to go? What if Notre Dame?
Yeah, they. Like, yeah.
Well, where are they going? They don't have to be in the full. You get them as that partial stuff. They're good.
Maybe.
It's a good deal for those guys.
Sure. Yeah.
FSU should try to. I don't know. This is it never ends.
No.
All I know is Pat and I are leaving for Paris in 2 weeks, and if you want to place a futures bet on when this will all happen, if this is,
it
will be while we're in the air. While we're in the air, we're gonna get.
We'll be
the ACC is gonna get like when Harbaugh got suspended in the middle of the flight to Penn State or whatever, right?
yeah, we'll be over the Atlantic, and the ACC will implode.
I don't think so. I think we've got some. I think we got a little more time there.
Hey, how about a little football? How about some football?
Okay. Oh, yeah. They actually
Big
play
12
that now. They
football media. Games. I mean, we're for like 45 minutes in. Very brief because we got other stuff like funerals and video games to discuss.
Mm, yeah. Really important
other
matters.
I have another death story, but it's a little more happy.
happy
how's
death
that a tease?
Story.
How's okay. that for a tease?
A happy death story.
Utah wins the Big 12 football media preseason poll. And if there's one thing we know about the media, we're never wrong. Fascinating thing to me, 5 schools got first place spots. Utah just edges out Kansas State. Then Oklahoma State and the DUI checkpoints coming in third.
God.
KU Jayhawks are 4. Amazing. And I mean, Kansas, just Sunflower State, represent.
Yeah.
Arizona got 3 spots at number 5. Then we got Iowa State, West Virginia, and their public transportation. UCF, they have public transportation at Walt Disney World that is better than Morgantown's, but really the Walt Disney one really works well. Texas Tech, TCU, Colorado is 11. They got a first round draft pick, is a first round pick as a QB. Baylor 12, BYU 13. Hold on, I need to rest my voice. This league is so big. Cincinnati, Houston, Arizona State. What do you think of this?
Brett Yormark's 100% right when he says that, I mean, they've got incredible depth and parity, you know, and it will be, I think, another fantastically unpredictable Big 12 season, as we've tended to have, with a lot of close games and no idea probably for a lot of the season who really the best teams are. I think in the previous, is it 5 seasons, we've had 5 different champions, and I think there's a good chance we get a 6th in 6 seasons, or maybe it's 4-4 and 5-5. But, you know, I would pick Utah first as well. I do think Arizona's got Noah Fifita and Tetroya McMillan coming back, so they got the pass and catch combo. They got a new coach, though. Oklahoma State, K-State, KU all look very good on paper. So, but then, you know, somebody like TCU is going to put it back together, or BYU will have a big season. Something will happen there, I guarantee it, to make this a, you know, one of those typical Big 12 seasons. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it.
It is. It might not be the best football league, but it is an exciting football league because of the parity. I mean, what conference, could you look at the bottom couple of, teams in the predicted order of finish and think, well, they might be able to win the league, or at least get, you know, win some decent games in the league and get to bowl eligibility. But in the Big 12, you have that with, like, you know, BYU, Houston, maybe even Arizona State. You know, you don't have anybody in the Big 12 like, you know, not to throw teams under the bus, but like a Vanderbilt or something in the SEC, or like an Indiana in the Big 10, or like Syracuse, Boston College in the ACC. You don't have a lot of the bottom dwellers, but you also don't have an Alabama in Ohio State, in a Clemson in Florida State. So it's not top heavy, but it's not bottom heavy. It does have a lot of parity from all the way through. And I think that was, you know, that kind of came through in some of Brett Yormark's comments as far as how deep the league is. The problem with that, with so much parity, is you're gonna have potentially teams beating each other up, and you might be left with just one team, your champion in the CFP, and that is a big fear here from a lot of folks.
I will add real quick on that. It's a big fear, but they also, I tell you what, man, getting that automatic bye for your champion, who might be 9-3, 9-4, 10-3, I think it's good, man. Like, Utah could be a number 3 seed, and you're in the quarterfinals. You may not get that second team in, but the automatic bye for the ACC champion and Big 12 champion is looking like a pretty good deal right now.
Yeah, people have got to get used to the idea that this conference champs only at the top. So 3 seed is very likely, or 4. I mean, basically is what you're going to get. You're going to get a bye.
You're going to have they're going to be a 3 loss, a 4 seed probably, yeah, at some point.
Right.
It's going to be a 10-3 ACC, you know, Big 12 champion.
Yeah, no question. All right, EA Sports is coming out soon. They've have been drumming up the publicity. Apparently Pat's that includes favorite. Finally getting Arch Manning. He put out on social media, the Texas backup quarterback, I'm in the game. He had previously opted out of the game, which I thought was kind of odd. On 3 is reporting he's going to get $50,000 to $60,000 to promote the game. Mind you, he's not the starter. He also will receive $600 and a copy of the game. He's got a freebie. Eli Manning participated in the promotion. I don't really like, okay, great. I actually think this was a little bit of a miss, but the Mannings don't miss much. But I thought Arch has done an incredible job just being a guy on the team. And it's a nice narrative, a nice brand to have. But when he's like opting out, now he's opting in, he's getting extra money. I don't know that the money's worth people going, what the heck, man? Especially for the Manning family. But Pat, I'm sure you're excited that Arch is in the game.
I prefer Pong.
Pong.
I know that is going to be the drop at the beginning. I prefer Pong. Joe is going to use this. Absolutely. I prefer Pong. That's a great one. Ross, you give a crap?
Hard-hitting
questions I ask. Okay.
No, not really. In fact, when I saw the reports that he wasn't going to be in the game a few months ago, I immediately thought, this can't stand, right? I mean, like eventually he's gonna be in the game. And it is weird, like you mentioned it being a miss. Yeah, he's been, and this was the case throughout his high school recruitment. I remember doing a story on him as a freshman in high school, and you know, I couldn't even talk to him. They wouldn't let me talk to him. And really his parents wouldn't talk either. So they're very closed off. They want everything about the team, right? Not a lot. And this was a little different. We saw the video and it went viral with Eli. So it was kind of unusual. But he's in the game, Dan.
Not a real big PR stumble. I mean, I don't want to make it like it's that bad. It's not. Someone's going to clip that like I'm bashing the, I mean, it's like whatever. But it's just sort of a little bit off the deal. But hey, 50, 60 grand. I'm not in the game. This pod isn't in the game, so I don't even know what EA Sports is talking about.
Well, when are they going to build out that element of the game to have podcasts talking about the game?
Imagine people playing a video game to play this podcast. That's going to be a big seller. I'm bored and I'm the host. I'm like, this is exciting.
You sure you don't want to talk about like the EA Sports defensive ratings? Like,
no,
actually
I'm going
to
talk about about the funeral at Bryant Denny Stadium.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
It happened. I have pictures even. I have answers. Okay. So the player was Cotton Clark. Cotton Clark played for Bear Bryant. Cotton Clark was like friends with Joe Namath. There's all sorts of very fun Cotton Clark stories.
Cotton
out
Clark
there.
Is such a great like 1950s, 60s football, college football name. Cotton
Alabama
Clark.
Specifically, especially yeah. Alabama. Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, he'd lower that shoulder and run right through you in the Oklahoma drill.
Oh, that old Cotton. Man, you didn't want to get a hit from old Cotton.
That's right. Taking that single wing around the end, and there he is, ready to
Cotton,
blow it up.
There's a story about Cotton. He was born in the little town of Kansas, Alabama.
Awesome.
Surprised it's not like hot coffee, Mississippi. I mean,
he learned to play when he's very young. It was the only thing we had to do. It was football or nothing.
Or Pong.
He also played basketball and baseball, too. Coach Bear brought him in. It was the best thing that ever happened. He got to be a scholarship. He said he called Bear Bryant super nice, but you'd better do what you're supposed to. He played alongside 4 years. He had Joe Namath as his guy. Just I don't know, whatever. So Cotton Clark is the player. His wife passed away back in 2001, and he held the to answer a couple of the questions, a memorial service. It seems to be more of like a memorial service in the in a luxury box of Bryant Denny Stadium or some kind of lounge at Bryant Denny Stadium. Appears to be in the end zone. Reverend Chris Jones was the pastor. No remains were present.
Okay.
So Pat's question, how do you get the coffin in a... in an elevator. Yeah. Fortunately, it was is unanswered.
Yeah.
Although thinking about the history of Brian Denny, it's probable. Is it probable that a coffin has been in the elevator at some point? Yeah. I don't think we can rule it out.
No.
I don't think we can rule it out. But they had a ceremony. They watched the first half of the Florida-Alabama game. They had a ceremony at the half. Reverend Jones, Pastor Jones, and then they watched the second half, and the Tide came and beat Florida 31-29. I have a picture of the family there dressed up for this event. Fantastic. So it did happen. It's a true story. There was a funeral slash memorial service at Brian Denny.
It's an excellent SEC story. I'm glad it's been verified.
Revenue, baby. Peace. Revenue. Yeah. I mean, Cotton Clark calls you up. I mean, I'd let him do it. A guy named Cotton Clark who played for Bear Bryant says, I want to hold a memorial service in my living room. I'd be like, I ain't blocked. This guy would probably still kick my ass. A, but B, yeah, hell yeah.
Clear room.
So maybe this is a real something that happens everywhere. I don't know.
I guarantee there are athletic directors out there with dollar bill signs
thinking
in their
about
eyes.
It.
Yeah.
You got this facility.
Revenue stream.
I mean, they do the Top Golf in there now. Yeah. Concerts.
Right.
You do anything you can. There you go. Funeral home.
Brian Denny Stadium / funeral home. How about it? There's a cemetery right by the stadium, too. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You could accomplish a lot right there.
All right, and finally, right? It's definitely finally time. That ain't even our most absurd story.
Running on fumes here, Dan.
Yeah, well, you're in Vegas, buddy. I notice you're sniffling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Sore throat.
147 degrees.
Yeah, it's 8:19 a.m. here right now. Mm-hmm. It is 97 degrees.
Yeah.
The high is 118. For there like a 10th day in a row.
All right.
People think Detroit has bad weather. Our weather is better than all of these places. Great.
Life in a dryer.
Life in a dryer. All right. So we're all know about AI and robots trying to take our jobs, right? We all have heard of this stuff. Someday this will just be an AI pod. Robot pod. Might be better. I'm not going to rule it out.
Might be better.
Might be better.
Yeah,
I'm not going to pretend like they could never. So this city in South Korea got a robot to work as an administrator in its like offices. It has been helping. It started in August 2023. The mayor hired the robot, and it has been helping employees with daily document delivery, advertising, and providing information to local residents. You could go in and ask the robot a question, and the robot would tell you stuff. Okay? This is a true story. It had its own civil servant card, and it worked from 9 to 5 each day in the mayor's city hall, right?
It worked regular hours. I mean, can't you make a robot work 24 hours a
day?
Well,
I think it's closed. Yeah, you'd think. But just it only work at 9 to 5. The thing could move around. There's some really weird stuff with this thing. It would move around. It could call the elevator and go to multiple floors of the city hall and do whatever it needed to do. Well, apparently the job was so mundane. The tasks were, I mean, do you really want that job? Angry residents coming in to yell at you and you got to be the robot listening. Parking ticket complaints. Where's my...
You've got to be the robot.
My garbage I don't know.
What empathy for a robot here?
Well, you're going to have it.
Keep going.
The robot administrator killed himself recently.
Oh, God.
I don't want to make light of this suicide.
I feel sorry for laughing
but
here.
It's a robot. So, I mean, I don't know. I'll probably be canceled for this. But The robot got to a top of a flight of stairs and jumped down the stairs, breaking itself.
Stop it.
The city is saying the robot jumped down the stairs and killed itself. It is a suicidal robot.
Come on. Wow.
Korean robot commits suicide after a year in public service.
There's a headline. There's a headline. That's certainly a better story than, you know, like robot forgot to turn itself off at the staircase and just, you know, fell down.
Are you saying that the mayor's office is wrong? I think the human worker deserves more respect for putting up with this stuff. I mean, most of those people work at City Hall. They've been there like 27 years, right? You go in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a woman who's in there. She knows everything. She ain't get, you're like, yep. man, the parking meter was broken. Which one? Parking meter 4382? No, that working. They know everything. They've been there forever. You get that job, you keep that job. But they are civil servants in mayor's offices around the world. Deserve a raise if this damn robot can't even last 1 year on the job before just saying, forget it. It ain't worth it. I'm throwing myself down a flight of Korean stairs.
Well, that's the problem. If you're a robot, you can't really just quit. So you kind of have to just dismantle yourself. You know,
no is way a out. Robot, robot therapy this robot could have taken, could have done instead of
from
this alternative.
From a robot.
Yeah.
Robot therapist.
There you go.
I will say, I mean, the idea of like of a city hall where, yes, it's probably just nonstop people that are like 79 years old that live in the neighborhood and come in and say, you know, this the garbage truck will not stay on its side of the road when they come through on Thursdays. You know, I can imagine the level of mundane complaining that you have to deal with is very
too much. Some of these quotes, this is from France 24. Obviously, it's made worldwide headlines. It jumped off or fell down a 2 meter, 6.5 foot staircase. Witnesses saw the robot officer, quote, circling in one spot as if something was there before the accident occurred. The exact cause of the fall is still being investigated. No, it's suicide. Pieces have been collected and will be analyzed by the company, a city council official said. It was officially part of City Hall. One of us, another official said, it worked diligently.
Oh, my God.
GUMI is the name of the city.
Okay.
And so there it is.
Our gummy robot killed itself. It's fantastic.
So be nice to your workers out there, your government workers.
Yeah, real or manufactured.
It's a lot tougher than you think because this dang robot couldn't hack it. It's a quitter.
Quitter.
All right, that's our show. I'll be back. We're not quitting here. You know, Korean robot.
No.
We got the American work ethic.
Yeah. No planned suicides on the show between now and next week.
No. Don't. If you're having trouble at work, call a professional help, please. Do not follow the lead of this idiot robot. Anyway, maybe it just slipped and fell down. But they're going with this story, and I don't blame them. It'll be a tourist attraction, right? You want to see the staircase? What else is happening in... What gummy. Is it? Gummy? Gummy?
Gummy. Maybe it, gummy, gummy, whatever.
It had a gummy. I don't know. Anyway, we'll be back next week. More college football news. Please share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. We'll talk to you later.